Tulsa was a satellite city for Sundance, and we got to go.
We saw a great film, and then a not-so-great film.
This is Cinematic Protesting. Welcome back to Cinematic Protastic. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Philip.
Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course, Anchor.fm, the host of this podcast.
We will respond and let you know what's going on. Circle Cinema was picked as the only place in Oklahoma, correct?
Correct.
So Tulsa or Sundance Film Festival, obviously, with the pandemic and everything, went virtual this year. I think they might have had some. I think they also did in person at Sundance too. But Circle Cinema was picked to act as a satellite location, and it was the only location in Oklahoma that got to also showcase not all of them, but a lot of the films that premiered at this year's Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah, I went on to their website and counted about 14 movies in all, but we got to see two.
Well, and Sundance is a bucket list for Andrew and I to go actually to Sundance. So this is kind of a cool treat. It obviously was not going to Sundance, but it was just neat to be able to say we've been to and seen films that premiered at a Sundance Film Festival, although it was outside and it was very cold.
Yes, and so we actually went with a friend of ours named Jesse, and we went to, so Circle Cinema was the host of it, but they partnered with the drive-in theater Admiral Twin to give people an option because of this pandemic to do a socially distanced version. You could go to Circle Cinema at their theater. Of course, I think they were probably limiting the seat numbers, but we chose to go to Admiral Twin. And that night it was 34 degrees as a low. We all thought we dressed appropriately. You know, I had layers on. I had two pairs of pants and a jacket. We brought blankets and all that stuff, but what we needed.
It still got pretty cold, but yeah, we were all bundled up and had blankets, and it's definitely added to the experience, I guess. It's, you know, we'll never forget going to see the Sundance films in Tulsa when we were freezing.
Literally freezing our butts off.
Yeah.
Like I said, we saw two films. The first one was Coda, which was directed by Sean Hader, and Strawberry Mansion, directed by Albert Burney and Ken Tucker Adley.
Is the name Kentucker?
It's Kentucker. So I'm pronouncing it Ken Tucker.
Okay. Ken Tucker Adley. Okay.
Tucker Adley. So the first film we're going to talk about is Coda, which is an acronym which stands for Child of Deaf Adults. And the basic synopsis of that film is it follows a girl named Ruby, which is played by Emilia Jones. She's the only person in her family who can hear. And it's her senior year in high school, and she's interested in performing or pursuing a career or an interest in music, and in particular singing. And as you can imagine, being a family of deaf people, it would be hard to understand why your child would want to pursue a career that really needs the ability to hear for it to be appreciated. And so she's kind of put in between a rock and a hard place, where she can either pursue her career and put her family's life literally in jeopardy, because her ability to interpret for them is what keeps them afloat. In particular with their business.
No pun intended, keep them afloat.
I didn't even realize I did that. The reason that that's funny is because they're fishers. They're a fishing family. And so they literally float. And so she could do that, abandon her family and pursue her career, or she can stay with her family, which, you know, obviously there's a huge incentive for that, and give up on her dreams. it's kind of a tough thing for a senior in high school tough decision for them to make.
In her family, she's got her mom and her dad and her brother, and then her. And as Andrew's already said, the three of them are deaf, and they utilize her pretty much to make their living. You know, she's not necessarily, I think she does go out on the boat, but I don't know if she's necessarily into the fishing aspect of it. But she helps them when they need to bargain and barter for the prices that they're selling their fish, and when they go to any kind of like I don't know if it's a union or what, but like all the fishermen come together for a meeting, and they're talking about how they're bringing in people and they're going to put the cost of this major cost is going to fall on the fishermen, and her family has to use her voice to argue their point of view. And so, yeah, for her to walk away from that jeopardizes her family's ability to be successful at what they do.
Of the two movies, when I read the synopses online when we were going, I was actually more excited to see Strawberry Mansion. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. But because of that, like I said, I was kind of more interested in that movie. So this one, it wasn't that I wasn't excited to see it, because obviously I wanted to see it, but I just wasn't expecting it to be what it was. Like, I knew that it dealt with music and stuff, but I didn't know it was going to deal with so much singing. And that part was what really kind of surprised me. And all these people were great, beautiful singers. And it just kind of, you know, it wasn't quite a musical, but there were definitely like natural music numbers. You know, the two students, the main students or whatever, are practicing. And so they go to some place and they practice, and you kind of hear like the whole song instead of just a couple bars or something, and then they go to the next scene. And so that was kind of part that really surprised me and whatnot. But I think the thing that really stuck out was this movie's ability to make at least me empathize with the hearing impaired, and really seeing their struggle of living in a sound world and not being able to participate in that.
See, I went into it, both of them, I guess. I didn't really look into either one, so I didn't know what either movie was about. I don't think I realized the name Coda, what it meant, until maybe after the movie. So I went into it pretty much blind and didn't really know anything about either movie. I think it opens your eyes to what that world would be like, you know, and for you and I, it's definitely something that we're very far removed from, something that we're not really going to ever experience. And so, yeah, to see what that would be like, not necessarily, you know, I'm sure that their situation of being fishermen isn't it doesn't matter what your family would be doing if you're in that situation and you're the only one in your family that can hear. It doesn't matter what jobs you guys do, you're probably having the same struggles. So just kind of seeing that world, and yeah, like you said, you can definitely empathize now with people in that situation.
And so, you know, as this young girl is trying to navigate either being with her family or pursuing her dream of being a musician and singer, you know, it comes to a point where she has a concert that she needs to go to. And of course, you know, it's the polite thing to do. She invites her family and they're wanting to support her, so they go. And you kind of see the family kind of like being, you know, bored or, you know, not really knowing what to do, because they're at a feature, something that features sound, which is something they can't participate in. But the moment that really stuck out for me was at one point during this concert, you know, and like I said, these people have beautiful voices and you're kind of getting into the music. And so right when it's really getting good, the music kind of slowly fades out and you start to hear nothing. And you're now in the seat with the deaf family. And you're starting to see how awkward it is for them to be there. But you'll also start noticing that they can see that their daughter is talented simply because everybody else around them, they're like tapping their feet, they're bobbing their head, and showing signs that they're really into what's going on stage. That scene really stuck out for me, and it's kind of like my favorite scene in the whole film. And like I said, it put you in their shoes, and once again, stress that empathy for their situation.
Yeah, it was definitely probably the highlight scene of that movie. It allowed the audience to experience, and like you said, it was really cool to see her parents go from, they were just sitting there not sure how to react, looking bored, but then seeing the emotion in their face turn from, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do here, to, wait a minute, look around, and seeing the joy that they were seeing on the other audience members, and seeing that transform their joy or their emotion to joy, because they realized, even though they couldn't hear what their daughter was doing, they could see what their daughter was doing, which is odd to think. You know, she's at a concert, so you're wanting to hear what she's doing, but they were able to see what she was doing based on the reaction of the audience around her. For me, though, it kind of reminded me of a similar scene in a movie. There's a movie that came out, I don't know what year, but it was an Oscar winner. It's called The Artist, and it was shot in black and white, and it was the first, I think, silent movie to be released in years. And it basically was. It was kind of a throwback to the silent movie era. And so the entire movie is silent. They have dialogue cards when there's dialogue, and there's a like a piano soundtrack, kind of like, you know, obviously how they used to do the silent movies. But there's a moment in that movie, because it's dealing with actors that are in the silent movies, and you can tell that the talkies, so to speak, are on the horizon, where Coda kind of slowly transitions from sound to silence to let you kind of, it lets you experience what it's like for the deaf family. The Artist, you've been watching the movie, it's been silent this whole time, and then all of a sudden there's a scene where a glass sits on a table and you hear it, and it's very jarring. And then there's a quick sequence where there's noise and there's dialogue. And for that movie, it's more of a, wow, it kind of takes you out of your comfortable zone because you've been watching this movie in silence for the whole time. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, here's some noise. So it's kind of a, for me at least, having seen that movie, it was kind of a weird or interesting take on two movies doing something very similar, but having different approaches. Because like I said, the one in Coda was meant to show you how they're experiencing joy, and it was going from sound to silence, where The Artist went from silence to sound, but it was meant to be more of a, let's show you how jarring it is to go to a movie with complete sound since you've been watching this movie in silence. Highly recommend both movies. Both movies are really good. Coda, it was very moving. The music was, and like you said, the voices were very, there were good singing voices. And it was just a fun, character-driven movie. And it had a lot of quirky moments about it that I felt really, like the people, the writer, I don't know if the director was the director, writer?
Yeah, she wrote it. She wrote it as well.
I feel she captured awkward family moments that really, like, they felt like moments that could happen with any family. It wasn't, you know, too far out of reach for this situation to be a real situation, or it was a situation that you could see your own family in, and it brought a very real sense of realism. It brought a good realism to the movie that I really enjoyed.
One thing that was also, you know, I don't know if it's difficult or not to do this as a film, but, you know, a lot of dialogue scenes are done with sign language. And of course they had, you know, closed captioning for people who don't know how to read sign language, but it was just interesting to have, you know, a lot of intense arguments and dialogue and things like that, but you're not hearing any of it. You're just seeing the actions of the, you know, the sign language. And of course, you know, if they're angry, it's harder, faster motions with their hands. And sometimes, they actually slap their hands or punch their hands or whatever with some of the sign language movements. And I would imagine it would be difficult to pull that off successfully. And they did that well in this one. I think, you know, you're probably in the same boat as me. Once again, no pun intended. I would give this one 2 tickets. Would love to see it again.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving this one 2 tickets. And it's also cool to see a movie that gives roles to people that don't necessarily get the roles or get offered movie roles. This was a movie obviously written for the situation of a family that are deaf. And I've seen movies before where somebody that is not deaf will play a deaf character, or somebody that is not blind plays a blind character. You know, that's kind of been something that I think Hollywood is slowly turning around. But in this movie, the dad, the mom, and the brother in real life are deaf. And so they had to hire like a sign language interpreter on the set, because not everybody that was filming the movie was able to understand sign language. So props to them too for just, you know, we're going to write a movie that deals with people that are deaf, so let's hire actors that are actually deaf.
So yeah, the mother was played by Marlee Matlin. She's probably one of the most famous, at least to me, actors that are actually deaf. She's shown up in a lot of things, been in West Wing, Law and Order, Picket Fences, and a lot of stuff. The brother, I'm not sure if I've ever seen him in anything, but I did look into the father, which was played by Daniel Durant. Or no, that's the brother. Played by Troy Kotsur. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. He's been in quite a bit of stuff as well, but it was really interesting because it mentioned him in The Mandalorian. And I was like, who did he play in Mandalorian? And then it hit me. There's a scene where they come across the sand people and they speak with sign language. It was one of those moments where, like, you don't really think much about it because it wasn't that big, but he was the guy or the sand person that was doing sign language. So yeah, they do get roles here and there, but it's not often that they're kind of the
star
center of the narrative. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, independent films don't get, you know, wide release or easy availability, but this one actually will, at least I hope so. It was sold to Apple TV Plus for $25 million, which apparently broke last year's record with Hulu, which bought Palm Springs that starred Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti. And that one sold for $17,500,069. Hopefully soon. It's not on Apple TV Plus, but I do need to stress, I did look to see if it was there. There is a film called Coda on there. It stars Katie Holmes and Patrick Stewart, and it's about a pianist who has developed late stage fright in his career. I don't know. I don't know much about it. That's about all I know.
But it's not this Coda.
Yeah, but their titles are the same. It's CODA in all caps. So it could be confusing. So you can watch Coda on Apple TV Plus right now. It's just not the one we're talking about. We did want to mention real quick that Coda did win the U.S. Grand Jury Prize, the U.S. Dramatic Audience Award, Special Jury Ensemble Cast, and the U.S. Dramatic Best Director. And Philip, you were pointing out that this was the first one that...
Yeah, it's the first film in Sundance film history that won the Grand Jury, the Best Director, and the Audience Award in the same year. It won 4 major awards and is the only film to win those 3. No other film has done that. So it's a pretty big deal, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's a history maker in 2 fronts. It won those 3 awards, and it's the highest selling movie from Sundance ever.
So
if you don't believe us about how good this film is, maybe look at Apple, who is willing to spend $25 million, and the 4 different categories that it won at Sundance Film Festival, which is one of the most prominent film festivals in the world.
Trust me, this is probably one of the most accessible films to other people than what we normally do our podcasts on. I feel like we tend to podcast about movies that target a specific audience. This one is definitely one that's open to more people. And I don't know if it premieres at Sundance this year or the 20. Yeah. So does that mean it can also be up for Oscars in 2021 or for, I guess
it would be next year.
Be next year's Oscars. So,
yeah, I'm not sure. It would have to play in a movie theater somewhere first, I think. But I don't know.
With the pandemic rules, I wonder if they'll keep those in place where they allow streaming movies. But yeah, I don't know. So that's what I'm curious about is, will this be a movie that's floating around come next year's big award? Not saying that Sundance isn't big awards, because it is. But when you think of award season for movie, that's Golden Globes and Oscars.
Yeah. As we said, this was part of a double feature that was showing at Admiral Twin. And at this point, we were really enjoying Coda, and we were really surprised by it. But we were starting to realize, okay, we didn't dress properly. And we were like, do we stay or not? And we opted to stay. And that's when we watched Strawberry Mansion. That one, we weren't sure if we should stay the whole time.
Well, so I think we back up. I think, yeah, we did discuss, should we leave or should we stay? I think even you were like, you said to Jesse and I, if you guys are ready to go, we can go at any time. We don't necessarily have to stay for Strawberry Mansion. Because at that point, we were all pretty cold. But we got in your car and we warmed up a little bit. And I think we're all like, let's stick it out. My decision of staying, it changed towards the end of Strawberry Mansion. But for those of you listening, Strawberry Mansion, it's a story about the government is able to monitor and tax your dreams. And with a lot of things now being digital, the same is with the film and the dreams. They're streamed straight to the government. But in this case, there's a person who audits dreams who has to go to a woman's house who, for one reason or another, is still having her dreams recorded by tape. And so since they're not delivered to the government, he has to go and audit, because it's been years, like several years, that she possibly owes back payment on her dreams. And so he goes to this woman's house, and the whole movie is a journey through her dreams. He falls in love and is caught in a conspiracy that threatens his life and others' lives.
When I read the synopsis, and you said that you went into both movies not really knowing what was going, what either one of them were going to be about.
Correct.
Since I was the one who bought the tickets and organized everything, got everybody ready to go. I did know a little bit about it, so I read that synopsis basically, and I was more excited to see that one based off of Coda, which just said something about, you know, child of deaf adults wants to pursue an interest in music. Didn't say anything about like singing, but it didn't really capture how great the film was, in my opinion. So I was really excited to see this one, and I guess this is my fault mostly. It's not necessarily the movie's fault. I guess I was kind of thinking something like Inception was going to play out in front of me, and it's not Inception. It's not that deep and complex and budgeted the same. But, you know, I don't want to harp too much on this film as being like a bad movie. I think both you and I probably didn't really like this movie, but I didn't think it was horrible.
No, it wasn't terrible. I think sitting in the freezing cold has a lot to do with it, because like the way it started, I thought I was very intrigued by it and was really curious about what are we about to watch.
At this point, you didn't know it was about dreams and a tax auditor.
No.
So I can imagine you're like, what the heck is going on? Yeah. But I had a little bit of pre-knowledge, and so I knew what the opening – well, I didn't know what the opening scene meant, but I had more understanding of it.
Yeah. So I think, obviously, from the get-go, you can tell that it's definitely made on a lower budget. But there's nothing wrong with that. We've made movies with – no budget.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I think I was intrigued and very interested in it when it started. But there was a point where I think the cold weather and the movie being not like fantastic made me start thinking, do I want to sit through this in the freezing cold?
Yeah,
we did. We stayed, and to be all honest, I'm glad we did. I hate to walk out on movies. You know, I hate to start a movie and then walk out on it. So I'm glad that we did stay and finish it. But and maybe it's one of those movies that would take another viewing. You know, I've since watching Tenet in theaters, I've watched it a couple times now. And I still don't really fully understand that movie. Not saying that this is Tenet by any means, but I think part of it was I got lost in this movie within, I think, the last 10-15 minutes, this movie jumped way off the rails for me. And, you know, another viewing, I think, could be warranted. And if you look up the film, you know, it doesn't have the most reviews, but it's gotten over 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. So the reviewers that have, or the critics that have reviewed the movie, have all said positive things about it.
I did want to point out that, you know, even though I didn't think it was the greatest film, but I did love that it embraced its campiness. Because it was a weird film, and it knew it was a weird movie. And so I don't think it tried to play itself too seriously. And, you know, as we said, this guy goes to this house to review this library of cassette tapes and beta tapes of dreams. And he puts a tape in like an old 80s-style VCR with the ejected cassette case or whatever that you push down from the top. And then he put something on his head that looked kind of like Robbie the Robot from like the 50s Lost in Space sci-fi movies and stuff. And it had like this big tube that came out of it that went to the VCR. And that was like, every time it showed up, I laughed, not because I thought it was dumb, but because I thought it was brilliant and lovely.
Well, it was obvious that they had just basically taken a cardboard box and,
and put foil on it.
Bent it up to shape it and put foil around it. You know, obviously, when you're shooting a film on a low budget, you do with what you can. And yeah, they accepted that. And it wasn't like they're like, oh, we just kind of have to do this. It's this is what we're going to do. And guys, we're going to knock it out of the park. We are going in with this helmet thing 100%. Everybody's going to, so I agree with you on that.
And so, as you said, I'm glad that we stayed and finished it. I definitely give this movie one ticket. I might be open to seeing it again if it shows up like on Netflix or something like that. And giving it another try without being in freezing temperatures. And I appreciated it for what it was.
I'll give it a ticket because, like I said, it wasn't awful. I believe that the weather temperature really played a part in how the movie ended for me. I would definitely be up for seeing it again. I think this one would be ripe for I don't know if they call it Mystery Science Theater anymore, or if it would be Riff Tracks nowadays. Yeah. But it would be ripe for one of those. If you are in the mood for just a quirky movie, go see Strawberry Mansion, although I don't know if it got picked up. So will you get a chance to see this somewhere else? I don't know. But I can definitely see this one, in 10, 15 years showing up as like a cult classic somewhere. Yeah. And it being very popular with like a niche group of people.
So let us know if you had a chance to see this film at one of the many satellite cities across America or at Sundance itself. Or if you're just checking this out because you saw this on Apple TV Plus, let us know what you thought about that, about Coda. Or if you do have a chance to see Strawberry Mansion in some way, shape, or form, definitely let us know what you think about that one and tell us if you think it's the better of the two. But until next time, we'll see you at the movies.
And don't forget to check your ticket stubs.
Thank you.